Do you think there's any gangs that listen to our podcast?
I don't know if the whole gang gets together, but surprise some gang members that have listened for sure. Yeah. I think so. Let's see what these white boys up to today. Yeah, shit like that. Yeah.
100%. Cheers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I've told this dude's story so many times. It's one of my favorite comedy stories. And he just hit me up. He's like, just giving you a heads up, I'm the guy you're talking about in this story. His name's Adam Bloom. He's a comedian from the UK. I was told this by a bunch of British comics because I'm obsessed with stand up. I'll talk about stand up. All I give a shit about stand up. They're like,
yeah.
They're like, Adam Bloom's like that. So Adam Bloom had a girlfriend who wanted to break up with him, and she said, all you talk about stand up. Can you go to dinner one night for 30 minutes, not talk about stand up? And he goes, of course I can do that. She goes, you can do 30 minutes without talking about stand up. He goes, yeah. Give me the light at 28. I fucking love that. He just hit me up on Twitter. He goes, just so you know, I'm the guy that you, because I tell the story all the time and I always go, I don't know who the fuck it is. It's Adam Bloom.
Adam Bloom.
I just got into a bunch of UK comics. Like, the UK comedy scene's fucking cool as fuck. Because they all do coke. They all, like, they're fucking real, you know?
Yeah.
Our comedy scene, fuck, man.
How did those 2 weeks go?
I'm gonna have a drink right now.
Yeah, you want
a
drink?
Can you give me a drink, please, Nadav?
Yeah.
Right, fuck it, dude. Fuck it. Fucking just someone to acknowledge how great my arms look. My arms look, look at this. I mean, that's like a fucking legit arm, dude. Look at that.
It's very legit.
Do you tremble when you flex your muscles? Ow. This is my baby arm. Not looking too bad.
Not too bad.
It looks fucking nice, dude.
Yeah.
How do you feel about getting recognized? Because did you know people were recognizing you at dinner?
Well, I was facing the wall. You were facing out.
Because I was looking at everyone looking at us.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not good at it. You're better at it for sure.
Yeah. I think I always wanted it.
I think you really,
like, if we're going to be very candid, I think that this is going to sound like, what is this? Neutral? Real vodka seltzer juices. How about like a cup of ice? Let's really take this to the next level. If we're going to be honest about it.
Yeah.
I really think that there is a thing that I say fame for lack of better words, but getting recognized, that it does to certain people. And I bet the majority of people that got into this business, it fixed them.
Fixed them?
Yeah.
How so?
Low self-esteem.
But how does that fix it?
This is probably way too revealing. Here's the problem with me, is that I say things on this show that I'm saying to you, mm-hmm. and don't realize I'm saying it to them also. That's my biggest fucking flaw. My biggest flaw. Wow. Let's do a list. Bert's biggest flaws.
Oh, boy.
How fucking long? Give me a number of how many flaws you think I could just rattle off right now off the top of my head.
You could probably do 10 pretty quickly.
10 was my number. 10 was my number. Yeah. And accuracy is not one of my flaws. So we went to, when Georgia was a baby, you'll never experience this, interestingly enough. You'll never get this. When Georgia was a baby, we went to a very popular preschool for, like, celebrities went there. Who played Steve Prefontaine? Who's Billy Crudup went there?
Yeah.
Nardalos, mm-hmm. Nia Vardalos, her husband, Ian Gomez, Fred Savage, like a bunch of people. I was who I am today then, but I felt like a failure because we didn't have any money. Like, I felt like a phony, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember.
Like, you're like, oh, I'm in entertainment too.
Yeah, and I remember making a joke and it didn't go over well, and I was embarrassed for who I was, right? Like, I didn't have confidence to just stand in the joke. It's a good joke. Fred Savage was playing with a bunch of kids, and there were, and all these moms were like, he's really a great dad. He's really, really a great dad. I was like, and I was like, we're all fucking great dads. It's just like, I'm hungover. He's not. That's why he's down on the floor and I'm not on the floor. And so then they were like, no, he is a great dad. But they go, but you knew that, like, knowing, because we've known him his whole life, like, watched him on TV, like, we knew he'd be a great dad. And I'm like, that's just, like, yeah. And then I just said, well, it's kind of shocking considering who his father was. And they're like, wait, who's his father? And I said, are you being serious? And they're like, yeah. I go, Randy the Macho Man Savage. And they're like, what? And I said, yeah, and his mom's beautiful Elizabeth. That's, you didn't know that? And then they're like, oh my God, that would make sense. Hollywood kid. You know? And then someone came up to me and they're like, hey man, they're like, you don't do that. You can't talk shit about celebrity people or whatever. And I was so embarrassed. It was my sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I'd stand by it today, but I was so embarrassed that I was this loser that, you know, like that. And then when I got success in comedy, it made me feel I didn't overthink things. Not even success. Like, I think Travel Channel was like, that's all the level of success I needed.
Yeah.
But like, I remember not feeling like a loser. Like, I felt like such a fucking loser dad. And then success makes you feel like, especially when someone goes, hey man, I watched your show last night. You're like, yeah. I don't have to. So I would sit there and
right.
over talk and be like, oh, I got these things going on. I'm gonna blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then I fucking face fuck Michael Ian Black.
Yeah.
Man, that was like
on the table.
On the table. Yeah. And then had to go to drop off.
I'm thinking of, by the way, how I definitely have and like, if I were in that situation with your joke that didn't go over and someone don't do that, I would probably get banned from the school because I would just become completely antisocial personality disorder psycho, you know? Like, being told don't do that would make me so crazy.
Oh, it made me crazy. You want to know how it made me crazy? Because I was being
My God, I just had a flashback to being crazy.
Let me hear it.
At this dog park in LA.
Yeah.
This is not, the origin of it is not telling a joke, but it is like a lady was in this park. And they have the dog parks there, a lot of times they're separated, small dogs and big dogs. And this lady had her big dog in the small dog park. So I go, hey, little big to be on this side, don't you think?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, he's not dangerous. And I go, yeah, it's not a dangerous separation, it's small dogs and big dogs. She had a big fucking dog.
Yeah. Was her name Leanne?
Like a 100-pound dog.
Because Leanne used to do that with Priscilla.
Oh,
she'd bring Priscilla into the little dogs. I go, baby, she goes, well, she thinks she's a little dog. I go, but she's not.
And that's
but she's not. And now I'm gonna argue that this is because they were women that they were doing this. They were breaking the rules. They were breaking the wow buddy.
Yeah,
they were breaking the rules because they did.
Yeah. And she was and she was breaking the rule because nobody calls her out.
I just broke into a sweat.
Yeah, well, she did the same thing. She goes, like, she's like harmless and she thinks she's a small dog. I go, oh, do you think that my small dog knows that your dog thinks that it's small?
Yeah.
I go, it looks like a fucking rhino next to this dog. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And then she started to like say something under her breath, and then I don't know, I called her an asshole. And then she called over another man, like he was going to, I don't know, come to save her or something. And then I was just like, fuck you and fuck you too.
Dog parks are a place where craziness can break down.
Yeah, I lost my shit.
When we were at this school.
Because I had to fucking, by the way, take my dog out of there because I could tell he was scared
of the big fucking
big dog. So I was like, you're fucking up this park for everybody, you entitled cunt.
When we were at that school, we had the big closing day picnic, and Billy Crudup had broken up with his wife or his girlfriend, the one that they had a child with, and was dating, I think, like, I don't know, a new actress, famous actress. And someone at our, we had a big closing day parade or like a picnic, and someone took pictures of them at that picnic and sold it to like Star Magazine at like at our school. And of course they all thought it was me.
They thought it was you?
Yeah. And I had a fucking, I mean, I had a kid, so I had cameras when cameras were like a thing. So, and I had a big lens on it. And so I it looked like it should have been me. Like, like someone was like, you did have a
fucking. And then you show up with like new shit the next week at new watch. They're like, hey.
But they thought it was me, and I have that whatever the thing is where is I behave guilty even if I'm innocent.
Yeah,
I behave guilty. So and I fucking was like, Billy Crudup didn't think it was me. He didn't, but all the other parents did, and I was like, and I started behaving guilty and fucking, and then I brought the camera everywhere because I was like, I want to make sure they know that I always had the camera.
Yeah. New equipment all the time. Put like a thing over your head.
Hey, how long did Bonnie and Clyde date before they were they killed? Find that out for me. I was just curious about Bonnie and
Clyde. How many times have you been in love?
8th grade. Well, and I fall in love easy.
I believe that. But then looking back, don't you also go, oh, I thought I was in love. And then you, when you know you were in love. Like they're different, right?
Well, if that's it, then it's just once, because it's Leanne. I could never. I always found flaws in all the women.
Well, like, finding flaws is normal. You should.
Yeah, I would be disgusted by them. Like, just be like I cheated, and so like I was never. I don't think I was ever in love. Like I was like 8th grade. I was in love with that. In 8th grade, I probably could have. That was like the first time I ever experienced love. And that was like hard fucking core.
Yeah, it's overwhelming at that age.
Overwhelming. I remember she broke up with me and I cried and I was like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, this fucking sucks. And then 8th grade, probably, I mean, I don't love, like I feel like one of the chicks that I dated in high school, I genuinely love her to this day, but she's more like a sister. Yeah. Like she was my sister's age, and we dated
her.
Yeah, I dated her, and so she. But I feel like she's a sister. Like I feel like we'll always have a connection of like, I think we were kind of like first loves, you know.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But we were so young; we never had sex or anything. And then I would say I was definitely in love with my college girlfriend. And then the next one, so maybe four or five. You ever look at one of your ex-girlfriends now? And there was a chick I dated in 9th grade, I saw her on Instagram. She looks fucking better than she did in 9th grade.
Really?
I know. I'll pull her up. Please edit that out.
Oh, man.
Pull her up. Just edit that out. I saw her last night on taking a shit on my Instagram. Let's go Instagram. Yep, that's her. That's her. 236 followers. Doesn't give a fuck about anything.
That's her right there?
Yeah. She looks better than she did in 9th grade. She's getting older. Maybe I saw a picture of her. Okay, never mind. Hard pass. Whatever. This just fucking spiraled into shit.
Yeah.
How many times have you been in love?
I think that's the thing is like, that I was making the point where I looked back and I was like, oh, that time I thought I was, but I wasn't. It was just like an infatuation.
I think that two of those, you could probably take them off my list.
Yeah, I think it's three total for me.
Three. Yeah, I'm gonna go a solid three.
Solid three.
Would I cover up a murder for them?
Okay, at the time, one, two, three, yeah, all three at the, yeah. I mean, now I'd have to let the one take the fucking rap for sure. I'd probably be like, no, it was her.
Oh, if Leanne killed someone, I'd be like, I'm so sorry, babe. I love you.
You call immediately. You're like, okay, just go take a shower. Make
okay,
sure you clean
okay,
yourself.
Hold on. Let's
hey,
take
yeah,
this
she's
through.
Upstairs right now taking a shower.
Yeah, but would you cover up a murder for Christina? Because here's the thing. Uh-huh. I'm like, Leanne murder someone, right?
Right.
And like our neighbor comes over, right?
Yeah.
And says something. You just towed my car, bitch. I'll fuck you up, and starts talking shit. And then Liam pulls out a gun and shoots him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, "Oh my God, I thought he had a gun. Mm-hmm. Bert, help me." Part of me goes, I would definitely help her. But then the other part of me goes, I'd be like, "Hey, listen, we're not going to cover this up well. We're going to get caught. Why don't you just do the time?
Yeah.
And let me be with the girls." Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, we're not going to cover up the murder. Great. Like, there's going to be something, we're going to leave something out.
Yeah. It's tough, too. And also, that's an impulse murder. You know, you didn't like premeditate. You got to like plan
impulse
it out.
Impulse murder, there's so many loose ends on that.
Of course, yeah. So, and also, I mean, the first thing right away is you're like, oh, did somebody in the immediate vicinity hear that gunshot? And is someone to come right now? And then you got to like.
Nest cam.
Yeah. You got to start going through the footage, drag that body through the house. So then when the cops do show up, they're like, did you hear a gunshot? You got to play dumb. Huh? I didn't hear anything.
I couldn't. How many of these women could you cut up and dispose of a body with?
With.
Where you wouldn't be like, I mean, I can't even put a fucking desk from IKEA together with Leanne.
Well, yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I think one.
Who?
The fucking hardcore one.
Really?
Yeah, I think she would be, like, Christina would be like, but.
God damn it, I'm doing all the fucking work. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the.
I don't think I could cut up a body.
The Spanish speaking one would do it.
I couldn't cut up a body.
I mean, no, I think it'd be really hard to cut up a body.
How would you cut up a body?
I mean, if you had to do it, you definitely want electrical, you know, like a chainsaw or something. But to do it like manually.
Would be a knife.
Fucking crazy. So how do, I mean, you got to break the bones. So you got to have like a hammer with you.
Hold on one second. Just type in, how do I dismember a body?
Well, yeah, but I'm telling you.
You definitely
have to break those bones.
Okay, how many pieces do you cut it in?
Well, you'd want to cut the hands off, cut the arms like at the elbow, cut them at the shoulder, and then you'd cut the head off.
So you just have a torso?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be the heaviest part of me.
Cut the feet off, cut them at the knees. You're trying to make it a lot easier to dispose of.
Could you do that, you think?
No. You'd be fucking absolutely sick out of your mind.
Do you remember we just tried to process an emu when we were gagging?
Oh, man. A human being?
Oh, my God.
But the chainsaw did help a lot. I mean, if you had to do it.
A chainsaw is the way to go.
You got to have a chainsaw.
Chainsaw would be the fucking.
It'd be the shit. Yeah. If you killed that guy and then you had a chainsaw, yeah. Fuck, man. You know, you got to have a room designated for that kind of shit.
Jeffrey Dahmer had people in his, that's Isla's favorite fucking podcast, is this thing about like murder.
Mm-hmm.
And why do women like murder so much?
I don't know. Maybe because they feel like they're so vulnerable.
They're so close to getting murdered.
Well, you realize that like we do this thing, your brain does it automatically for you as a man. Whenever you meet a man or you walk into a room, without you even thinking about it, your brain calculates, can that guy kill me? Right?
Like that's
so
funny.
Your brain just tells you all the time. Yeah. You're like, I can take that guy. That guy can kill me.
I walked into the fucking producing room. I just look around. I go, lollipops. Lollipops. I could lick every one of them.
But I think a woman walks through a lot of society going like, all these people can kill me if they want. Yeah. So that like you become like a potential victim all the time.
It's amazing that a woman would ever like challenge you in this dog park knowing full well that's like crazy that you could be a psycho and just lose your fucking shit.
Yeah.
And beat her to death.
Mm-hmm. And the truth is, I wanted to.
Entitlement,
I think, makes me rage so fucking hard. Like, real genuine. You know, we do, like, jokey stuff. We joke. But, like, when someone really is like that, I just want to... I don't know. My blood just boils, you know? She's like, well, I decided to be over here. I was like, what? You know that this is designated for a reason, right? Yeah, but not to me.
The rules don't apply to me. Yeah. Yeah, that makes me fucking crazy. I was in an elevator in Canada one time, and these two girls were talking French, and and I said, I heard the word étage, which means floor, but it's also the same word in Russian. I said, what language are you guys talking? And this girl goes, French. Know where the fuck you are, stupid. And I wanted to go, oh, you know, I could just fucking make this whole elevator red right now. I could make this whole, yeah. If I wanted to paint this red with your blood, I can.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of your bloods. I'll beat you. But I just had to stand there and just stand there and go, cool.
Yeah. And there's like.
Etage floor, please.
There's like.
Poor favor.
You know, 1,300 men in the world who would have just beat their heads into the wall.
Oh, there's more. There's countries full of them. There are countries where that conversation does not happen that way.
Oh, yeah.
There are countries.
What? Yeah, they go, what?
Fucking.
Yes.
Oh,
crazy.
Now we put a tire around you and light you on fire.
I know. It's fucking, it's crazy.
It just fucking, I remember shaking. I was so angry.
Yeah.
Learn what country where you are, stupid.
You were in?
I was in fucking Montreal or whatever.
Oh.
And so, like, I guess I should have been paying it. I mean, I just was like, actually, I was in Edmonton. And oh. I was like, and I forget that the fucking Canadians speak French.
Yeah.
They're slippery like that. I forget. Fucking, you can't trust them, and you cannot trust Canadians.
Not at all.
Canadians not at all. Are the quickest to fucking.
Yep. Switch it on you.
Switch it on you, and then all of a sudden, it's a revolution.
Yep.
They start talking in French to each other. Hey, I said, we did. Get fatty right here.
Yeah, like, manger mon ami. Yeah.
Mon ami, mon amour. Yep. Donne-moi ma tête. Ménage-toi.
Donne-moi
ta tête. Mangez-moi. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zola, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. This is my impression. Let's do some impressions today.
We should warn the audience, you're really good at this.
This is my impression. Isn't it cool when, like, were we talking about chefs recently?
I don't know.
I think we were.
Okay.
Were we talking about, did you have good eating experiences with chefs?
Yes. And
okay.
We talked so about this. So many. Holy shit. You know what fucking happened to us? We were in Rochester, New York, and I didn't think anything of what that would be like. Like, I figured there's when you tour as heavily as we do, you're in a lot of cities, you know, mm-hmm. and then you're in cities, you're like, I guess we're just going to pass through. Right?
Rochester, by the way, looks a lot like Serbia. Keep going.
So Rochester, by the way, it's a fascinating story about how a city, really thrived at one point. I mean,
did it?
Well, like, Bausch & Lomb, Xerox, Kodak.
What?
We're all there. Kodak.
Give me, pull up the history of Rochester. I didn't know this.
How many employees Kodak had at one point? At in Rochester.
No.
60,000.
Wait, what were they doing? Like, just processing film?
I mean, it was an absolutely enormous
company. What's the story on Rochester?
But then here's the thing.
Is that the state capital?
No.
That's Syracuse, right?
No, Albany.
Oh, it's Albany.
Did you know, though, that Kodak is one of those cautionary tales in business? Because you go, this company is a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah.
Enormous. I mean, 60,000 employees in Rochester. It's like a city within a city. You see like their headquarters and you're like, holy shit. Like, just, it's enormous. Right? Yeah. So
Eastman, Kodak, Xerox, Bausch & Lomb, Wegmans, Gannett, Paychex, Western Union. Wow.
Yeah.
Ragu.
So these were all.
Ragu?
Yeah.
Ragu.
Mm-hmm. So.
Why? What happened?
Here's the story of. Here's one of the stories of. Of what? Kodak.
Why is everyone laughing?
Because you went Ragu.
Ragu. I love Ragu.
Ragu.
Ragu is in the spaghetti sauce?
Uh-huh.
Ragu. I love Ragu.
Ragu and hot sauce are the best. Yeah.
Ragu, yeah, man. Yeah. I could fucking go for some spaghetti.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So here's the, you want to hear this? This is crazy.
Can I make an assessment real quick? These are all kind of brands that definitely
appeal to you.
No, but like Western Union now with like the Cash App,
yeah,
just there you go.
You're exactly right.
And so like, and so Kodak, obviously, I mean, these are all businesses that,
but
this
you're gonna
destroyed.
You're gonna shit with this detail.
Okay.
Kodak develops the digital camera in like the 70s and goes, we can't let this get out. It'll kill our business.
No.
And they don't patent it.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Yeah. So digital cameras, obviously, so they invent it and don't even get to capitalize on it. Film becomes obviously less popular as digital photography grows. The company just shrinks. And now they have 2,000 employees and they, you know, regularly have been selling off parts of the company for years now. So it had like an incredible decline.
Oh, look at that Kodak symbol.
Yeah.
Do you think, what are the odds that Kodak Black knows what Kodak is?
That's a good question.
He just got shot, you know that?
Again?
And no, he got shot at the Super Bowl.
He did?
Yeah, he got shot in the leg.
At the Super Bowl?
Yeah. And no, not at the Super Bowl.
In LA?
In LA. There was a big, you can see the video of him getting shot.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was on Melrose. Kodak Black shot.
What? There's footage of it?
Yeah, there's footage of it. It's right there. Kodak Black shooting.
No way.
Yeah.
What?
It's so funny if you said in 1972 a Kodak shooting.
He's just like chilling. No way.
And then a fight breaks out.
I bet fights follow his ass.
Okay. Speed it up so we get to the fucking. If you said Kodak shooting, it means something totally different. He's totally drinking outside the club. I really enjoy Kodak Black.
You really enjoy him?
There's a part of him that is so did that door just open backwards?
Yeah.
There we go. Boom. You got gun.
Who has the gun?
Right
that
there.
Guy there?
Yeah. And then he shoots Kodak Black in the leg. Ow, fuck.
Oh, my God, dude. And then is that person dead right there?
No.
I think he
drops a Bausch & Lomb.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
LA is wild, bro.
Who's this guy?
That's who's filming.
He has a helmet.
Probably paparazzi or something, man. Those guys are always on their bikes and shit.
Oh yeah, it is paparazzi.
Yeah.
Kodak
is wild.
Yeah.
And right now he's like, man, this video is awesome.
Yeah, this guy's yeah. like, I lived. You know what's so funny is Kodak Black talked about the shooting, and he's like, yeah, they got me. Like, I think that's what he said. I started watching it this morning. But, like, there's a part of Kodak Black that is really untethered to the idea that, like, him and Boosie are, like, they say what they say.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with them quite often, but I get a kick out of it. I get, like, excited.
Yeah.
Kodak Black the other day said he's gotten this woman pregnant. And he said, if this woman has a boy, I'm going to let her be my girlfriend. But if she has a girl, it's just a baby mama. Saying, in essence,
yeah.
If it's a daughter, I'll give you shit about it. I don't really give a fuck about women. It's such a funny, but it's like, he is taking what men think to the level that we think it, but don't say it sometimes. And he's just saying it. Like, have you ever seen the parties with the gender reveal parties? You ever see it? Yeah. They do pink and the guys are like, fuck.
Yeah.
That's Kodak Black. But he's just being very upfront about his feelings.
Yeah.
I really like, I mean, he's, you know, the reason he got shot is because of what he said about Lauren London.
That's why he got shot?
That's what I'm assuming.
What did he say?
I don't even want to say it, but he said something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing Kodak Black, is his words are often more accurate to what he feels, but he basically said he'll give her a year to get over the death of Nipsey Hussle.
Oh.
And then she can get it. Like, I don't, is she about
she's fitting to be a whole widow out here.
Okay. Yeah. And basically he's like, she's hot, man. I'll give her like a year. I'm paraphrasing. Cause I'm not,
okay,
you know,
okay.
But, and then I think he had to apologize, but Nipsey Hussle's gang is the biggest gang in Los Angeles. That is the most, from what I understand, I don't know. I mean, I hope I'm not being offensive. I don't know if Nipsey Hussle was in a gang, but I know he was affiliated or something.
Sure.
But that gang exclusively is like the biggest, like toughest gang in all of
LA. And that's why they went out there to shoot him.
And they were like, and that's what Ice-T said. He was like, "You just so you know, they don't fuck around. Like the fucking gangs in LA are fucking next level. They do not fuck around."
Yeah.
I'm fucking... I'm so fucking.
Yeah. I'm happy the gangs are back. You know, there was like that. There was that real weak period for a while there, where everyone was like, "Do you remember gang violence?" And you're like, and now it's like it's fucking, it's on again. Respect, guys. Salute.
Do you think there's any gangs that listen to our podcast?
I don't know if the whole gang gets together, but. Surprise some gang members that have listened for sure. Yeah. I think so. Let's see what these white boys up to today. Yeah, shit like that. Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. Sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting that like how that gang culture lended itself to hip hop. Like it's interesting that is the permeation that it's gang culture, maybe not sports, you know?
Wait, what?
Like hip hop and gangs are like hand in hand.
Uh-huh.
But there's so many aspects of black culture that like basketball.
Yeah.
Like there's so many aspects of hip hop and black culture that could have meshed, but gangs became the one thing that was dominant. Does that make sense? Like that gang members became rappers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure.
Like Snoop was a gangbanger.
Yeah.
The game's a big fucking dude. Remember when I challenged him to a fight?
Yep.
He's a big fucking dude.
Probably wouldn't be a good idea.
I would love to be friends with him. Do you ever see the gang member and the professional boxer fighting in the casino?
Yes.
Is it interesting?
You never want to trade hands with a fucking actual fighter. It's just a whole different thing, man.
They know so much more about how their body should move.
Well, it's like it's instinct stuff, you know, like they like just the way they like slip punches and the combos and the speed of it all. Some dude who's just big and tough and throwing haymakers, it's, you know, you're going to get, you can fight another regular civilian and have that go your way. But if you're fighting a guy who's really boxed, you're fucked.
Dude, that's the one thing I wish my dad had got me to do is learn how to fight.
Yeah.
But my dad's like, just walk away from every fight. That's just all you need to know is never get into a fight. I got into one fight in like eighth grade and I won and I didn't feel like I won. Like I felt like a piece of shit. And my dad made sure to make me feel like a piece of shit.
For doing it?
Oh, yeah. He was like, he was like, do you feel like a man now? You feel like tough? You think that makes you tough? He was like, the guy wasn't that tough that I punched. And he was like, so what are you going to like be a fighter now? He's like, he like kind of humiliated me for getting into a fight in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, I thought I'd come home and he'd be like, you won? Nice. You know?
Yeah.
Fuck yes, my boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, give him a bigger piece of steak today. Extra rare.
Yeah.
You deserve it. Like yeah. He just put me on a leash. But yeah. No. He humiliated me. Like if you ever said the F word, you know?
Yeah.
If I ever said that around my dad, he would light me up.
Really?
Oh yeah. He didn't like that. And my dad was like, my dad's progressive in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, but not like I remember saying it because it was like the word. I learned it when I moved in this new neighborhood. All the boys, when I was 10, that's when I first heard that word for the first time. Slumber party at someone's house, and then they called one of the kids a bundle of sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember came home and I called my sister that. She was 8.
Yeah. I called my sisters all the names. Yeah. Everything. That's so fucking bad.
Oh, and so I remember my dad, he fucking lit me up. He's like, what are you afraid you're gay? You like boys? Is that what it is? Why are you saying that? Why are you saying that? You know, only homophobic people say that. People that are afraid they're gay. They're gay. If you're then, look, I'll love you if you're gay. I'm 10 years old. I'm like, I fucking just heard it, okay?
Yeah.
He's like, don't say that word. Don't say that. Don't fucking say that word in this house.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't like that. My dad's like, he's he's very, very, I'm sure he's okay with me saying this, very anti-Trump. Very anti-Trump. Like I can't argue from the center with my dad because he hears, he's like all the fucking alt comics. Like, you can't just argue from the center because all they hear is you're alt right.
Yeah.
And so and I can't even do that to my dad. And my dad knows I have voted Democrat my whole entire life. Never once voted Republican once. My dad is that far. Like, he's like very, very liberal. Like, really? He's lost friends over it.
I didn't realize that.
But he's also, I mean, he's a regular person. So like I see the things that he doesn't know that he's doing that is not super progressive. You know, like I see certain things, but he has some blind spots, but he definitely, you couldn't say the fucking, he didn't like those words, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably good, man.
Yeah.
We couldn't, yeah, we weren't allowed to curse. We could say racial slurs, but we couldn't like say any cursing. You know,
that's amazing how prevalent racial slurs were growing up. Like, just in
it's Florida. The way it should be, man.
But like
Florida is wild, though,
like, dude. And it's so crazy because like now that I live in LA, like, and obviously everyone we're surrounded with is very progressive minded. To even explain your childhood sounds horrific. To go like, hey, man, I was just a kid. I was just hanging out. Like, I was the fucking kid.
I had a different perspective than you because you grew up there.
Yeah, and you
moved there. And I moved there at 14. So yeah, you have like a some worldview already.
Oh, I didn't have any worldview.
But I'm saying like of like other cultures and places and the way and the just casual nature of people's racism in Florida is eye opening if you just like arrive. You're like
at 14.
Yeah, you're like, what's going on? And people are like, what?
Yeah.
And you're like, you guys just talk like this? And they're like, yeah.
Oh, and dudes' like, grandmas?
One of the wildest things I ever heard was someone's grandma at a party at her house. And she just fucking, man, I can't even repeat it. And I was just like, that's your grandmother? And they're like, yeah, she's old. I'm like, oh my God.
I remember being in someone's grandmother's car. We were freshmen in high school. She pulled up to the gas station, full serve. And she yelled out the window, fill her up on unleaded and send out to do my windows. And I remember being in the car going, and no one questioned her.
Yeah.
No one said anything.
That's the part that gets you, though. It's that it's not just that somebody says something wild. Like, and that's at 14 where I was like, huh? It's that everyone else is like,
yeah.
You want something to drink? And you're like,
crazy. And by the way, what's crazy is like, the racial slurs that I heard most growing up were usually anti-Hispanic.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with all Hispanic kids. And so that, like, I mean, anything to like,
when they found out that I was, because, you know, I'm fair skin and blue eyes. And then, like, right there, like, are you a spick? And I was like, yes. And they're like, did you know Tom's a spick? And I'm like, hi guys. And they would like bring me oranges and shit, and they'd be like, yeah, did your family pick this today? And I was like, cool. Yeah.
The big one for us was Cuban versus Puerto Rican. Like if the Cuban kids, we had one Puerto Rican kid in our high school. We had more than one, but they didn't like, one guy was like, was definitely Puerto Rican. I think about him a lot, oddly enough, because he got into an accident when we were in high school, when we were 16. And he got into an accident. He came to school that day in the morning. He came to school and he had this weird look on his face. I said, are you okay? And he goes, yeah. You know what's crazy? It's right before I got into that accident, I kept thinking, driving's a little bit like a video game. I was like, really? He's like, I kept thinking, this is like a little bit like a video game. And he goes, and I guess I lost control and I almost died the thing. And he was like, it's not like a video game. So I think about him saying that to me a lot.
Yeah.
I'm gonna avoid all the things they would say, but we always had kids that were part Cuban that looked like you. Troy and Dean, can I've talked about them before? Their mom was Cuban.
Yeah.
Like that so yeah, the N-word wasn't something that kids my age said. That wasn't a big thing.
Yeah.
And it was also like what part of Tampa you lived in. Was where that word got said. Oddly enough, if you lived in the very wealthy areas of Tampa or in the very poor areas of Tampa. White people.
Yeah.
That's the white people said it. In Carrollwood, in like the middle class, I don't think it was very prevalent. But yeah. Conjoined with other words, like, you know, like knocking, that was where you heard it. You know, I lived in a very poor white neighborhood, not very poor now, but I look back, it is. When I drive through it today,
yeah,
I go, shit, I lived here. Like now I drive through it. I took my kids through it. We were in Tampa. I drove my kids through it. So that's my first house. And they're like, you lived here? And I was like, yeah, it was great. We lit a kid on fire over there. It was fucking.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is there were Asian people all around us.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's next door to us were Asians. Right across the street were Asians. Down the street were Asians. Like there was a big Asian community in this poor white neighborhood.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's this going? What was it? Hold on. Did you have a perspective with your mom being
a spick?
No, but your mom was, did she feel like she fit in when she got to South Florida?
No.
Really?
She never felt like she fit in anywhere here.
In America?
No.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I mean, she's like, you know, she's a different person when she's around Latin people. Totally, you see her personality change completely.
Really?
Yeah, I think she always had like, you know, some level of insecurity, which I understand. I mean, imagine you come over here, you go to another country when you're 30.
She came over here when she was 30?
Yeah. And like,
wait, how old was she when she had you?
When she had me? Sorry, she came over here when she was 32.
Hold on, how did you just get older?
How'd she get older?
No, where were you born?
In Cincinnati.
Okay, but she had you in Cincinnati, right?
She had me in Cincinnati when she was probably 30, five.
Holy shit, your mom had kids in her 40s.
No, she had her last one, Jane, at 39. So yeah, it's like you come over to it. Imagine if you move to another country at 32 and you don't speak the language. She didn't speak English, you know?
She didn't speak English?
No, she knew like 20 words.
Did your dad speak Spanish?
None.
He spoke Korean, no, Vietnamese, right? Didn't he? Why did I feel like your dad spoke Vietnamese?
Because he killed a bunch of them? I don't know. He did not speak Vietnamese. He would casually use that word a lot.
So your mom came here not speaking language, and then gets down to South Florida where everyone speaks Spanish.
But we weren't properly in South Florida, which would have been a different experience.
Yeah.
You know, we were still a little bit above that. You know, we were an hour north of Palm Beach. So we're kind of central, but not central state, like central coast.
I bet your mom is a smoke show in her 30s.
It's very pretty. She's very pretty. But
you got any pictures?
Yeah, I do. I'll send you some.
Okay.
Huge tits.
Do you think you fall in love with Christina because you guys are both children of immigrants?
No, but I'm sure it plays a part. Like, you know, there's a reason like you align with somebody, and I'm sure like that our parental experiences, like she has two immigrant parents. You know, me having one, there's definitely things that you connect on, like you bond over that, you know.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, my dumb fucking parents said this today. And that's, you know, that's like I think all kids of immigrants are always like kind of nodding at that kind of stuff, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Do your sisters identify, like, are you the, like, never mind,
what,
I don't think I'm gonna make this, isn't gonna come out right.
Am I the spickiest of my siblings?
That's what I meant to say. Do they speak Spanish?
So Maria speaks okay. She doesn't use it enough. I mean, neither do I, to be honest. Jane understands a lot, like refuses to speak. Refuses. I've never heard her say a word.
Really?
Understands a lot because you just hear it so much, you know?
Yeah.
So there's, you get that a lot in children of immigrant parents of all backgrounds. I mean, there's people watching and listening right now, they have Persian parents, French parents, Arabic, whatever, that you go, yeah, of course I understand because that's all I hear. But you have to actually speak to get good at speaking. So I probably speak the best of my siblings because I've spoken the most.
Yeah.
Because you're a man
and people want to hear what you have to say.
Exactly. I spent time in South America. I studied abroad.
Where in South America? Peru?
Yeah.
Lima?
I spent time in Lima, yeah, a lot of time.
Did you ever go to Machu Picchu?
Three times.
No.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
I want to go to Machu Picchu.
It's really worth it.
Pull it up. I want to see Machu Picchu. Maybe I'll go next week.
You know?
Do I have to train for it?
No. It's fucking rad. It's up in the mountains, man.
And your mom went to high school in Machu Picchu?
That's where she went to school, right there. Yeah.
Has your mom been to Machu Picchu?
Yes.
Have you been back to Peru with your mom?
Yes.
That's a fucking badass city.
That's pretty cool.
You know what's crazy about Peru, which I learned? I was listening to a podcast, maybe it was called The Conquerors, and it was that the soldiers, when they went, they were like, oh, we'll just go fuck up Peru real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Spaniards, and they're like, let's go get them.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. Okay, I can't fucking breathe. Yeah. And they're like, Jesus Christ, how the fuck? And so then there were a lot of places that were safe because people couldn't get to them.
It's way up there. I mean, you will have a headache when you first arrive in Cusco. So you fly, you don't land in Machu Picchu. You go to Cusco, right? Which is like an old city in the Andes. And the elevation is up there, and it usually it fucks with people the first day.
What's the elevation of Machu Picchu?
Let me see.
I fucking hate elevation.
Yeah. That's up there.
That's up there. I can do that, though.
You can do it. So Cusco is not that high, but that's where you first go to.
See what the elevation of Matterhorn is.
What is it?
This is the highest elevation I've ever been at.
Matterhorn? What's that?
Matterhorn. It's in there. It's in, yeah. How's it? 12,000 feet. No, I can maybe 10,000 feet. So we went skiing right adjacent to Matterhorn.
Okay.
And you could see the peak of Matterhorn from where we were standing. And it's higher than where we were, but that we went hella skiing one time. And motherfucker, I that's probably the most difficult I've ever had catching my breath. It was like insane.
Yeah, those when you first arrive, I mean, I'm sure it was like that there, but like, do you remember having headaches? I had bad headaches, and they give you like coca tea, like tea leaves, you know, it's like a tea that you drink, and it actually kind of alleviates the headache and the nausea.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think it's because I party too, but I can feel it when we're on our bus and we're going through the fucking Rockies. And I feel we're at elevation. And I'm just like, what's the fucking and I have it on my phone. That's how much elevation fucks with me.
Yeah.
And when we went heli-skiing, I could not. We were in like, I'll say 4 feet of powder because that's what it felt like. Probably 2 feet of powder. Like you could not put your snowboard on because it was sunk. Everything would sunk into the snow.
Yeah.
And it was not enjoyable, super exhausting, fucking terrifying. I don't know who could do it. It wasn't my favorite experience of skiing. And then just in Switzerland, you're at elevation.
Yeah.
Fucking elevation sucks.
Yeah, you got to adjust to
What's our elevation here in Austin, do you think?
I don't think
it's weird. There's sneaky cities that you don't know are elevated. Like like Albuquerque's at 5,000 feet.
Really?
Yeah, I think Albuquerque's at 5,000 feet.
What's Austin's elevation?
I don't know. I'm pretty... I
can't imagine that's much, but I don't know.
I got an altimeter on my fucking phone and... 656 feet.
Okay. So that's not much at all.
Elevation fucks with you. I want to do one of those, not deprivation tanks. What are the ones where they put you in the thing, the bell, and they take you down below fathoms?
I don't know.
And then they fill you with oxygen and it refixes you.
It refixes you?
It would replenish. I was going to say replenish. And then it's not replenish. What is it called? What does someone know the word of that thing?
Is it hyperbaric?
Hyperbaric chambers.
Oh.
Yeah, type in a hyperbaric chamber.
Well, a hyperbaric chamber is full of oxygen, right?
Hyperbaric therapy, Austin. Yeah, you just found it. You just said it.
Yeah, yeah.
I guarantee you, Kuya's got one. But they take you in. Rogan did this.
Yeah.
They take you in. They put you at like 4 fathoms below in this fucking...
What is a fathom? What are you talking about? What is it?
It's like 100 feet or something, or 10 feet, 20 feet. I don't know.
They lower you?
They lower you.
Really?
Yeah, they basically take you below sea level.
I thought they just closed the fucking...
No. They close it, but then they pressurize it so that you're under...
It mimics being that?
What?
It mimics?
It mimics it. It's how you get rid of the bends also.
Oh.
But they take you in. I think they do it for a lot of people with going through cancer. I think what it does is it allows more oxygen to get into your cells because you're getting pure oxygen and your cells are open to it.
Yeah.
Like they're like expanded or whatever. So it fixes you. Mm. I don't know.
Okay.
I'd love to do it, except I think I'd get claustrophobic. I think they'd have to drug me.
Do it. Do drugs.
I don't know if you can do drugs and then do that.
I'm sure you can.
I remember one time I did diving lessons, like scuba diving lessons. And I was having panic attacks until I took a Xanax. And I was like, this, you're not supposed to scuba dive on Xanax. Like, you definitely want to have your wits about you.
I think for scuba diving, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah. And I would get
But sitting in a hyperbaric chamber, you could probably be high.
I would love to be on.
Oh, I didn't even finish saying this earlier.
What?
That I was in Rochester.
Chefs. Chefs.
Yes.
Chefs. Chefs.
And
God damn it, I'm fucking bad.
Yeah. We ended up, a lot of times in these times, you just go
I
like.
I should do a talk show called What Were We Talking About?
Yeah. You go like, what's the best place to eat, right? Like, what's awesome here? And so I found out that Rochester has like a bunch of good restaurants. So the first night we go to a place called Red, when the chef there worked at Michelin star places in Napa, California. Mm-hmm. Like, so he like really is a top tier chef. And then he's from Rochester, moved back there and basically opened a place that is that level of cuisine.
Really?
So it was phenomenal.
Am I in Rochester soon, Nadav? Do you know?
And then the next night.
I think I'm doing Poughkeepsie and that whole run. I bet
dude,
I'm in Rochester.
You got to go. You got to go. The next night we went to Vern in Rochester, which was also outstanding.
Durham, North Carolina. Keep going. I want to go to these restaurants if you went there.
Bro.
Yeah, I got Worcester. Worcester.
Yeah.
I'm not in Rochester. Albany. I'm not in Rochester? Are you fucking kidding me?
Wait. You no?
Salt Lake
Did
City.
Did I not see that?
Grand Junction, Columbus, Nashville, Baltimore, University Park, Portland. Scroll all the way down to the bottom. The Greek, May 5th.
Hmm.
Vancouver, Hollywood. What the fuck am I doing in Hollywood?
You're doing the improv.
When? Why? Wait, what are you? Hang on. How is that on my fucking calendar?
I don't know. In July?
Who am I doing the? Why am I doing the? Wait, why am I? Hold on. Why am I? What does that say? With who? How the fuck have they booked the Hollywood Improv? That's from last year.
Oh.
That's from last year. I was like, how the fuck did they know that? So
are those all last year?
Well, at
all
the Hollywood
point,
Improvs.
But I mean.
Oh, I bet they all are. All those July dates?
Yeah, probably, right?
Cobbs Energy Center,
yeah,
Atlanta.
Just a,
yeah, they. Yeah, good
so
job.
You need to tell them to.
No, yeah.
You're like, I pay someone for
bang
that.
Up job crew.
Yeah.
So here's the interesting thing I think about chefs, right?
Yeah.
I feel kin to chefs because we are delivering a product that tries to enrich your life.
Yeah.
When we do stand up, our only goal is to make sure you have a better time.
Yeah.
Because of us. And
yeah.
Chefs do that.
Yeah.
However, chefs do it in a much more intimate way because they go inside your mouth.
Yeah.
So like they get to, but here's the crazy thing. I was trying to think of, because sometimes we miss a target.
Yeah.
And we're like, and people are like, and get the exact opposite feeling.
Yeah.
And they're like, I came to have a good night of comedy and now I hate you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, does that happen to chefs?
For sure.
Food poisoning?
Well, just that, or like, didn't like the food, didn't like the experience, didn't like the ambiance, you know, didn't like my server, didn't like, people get upset about all kinds of things in restaurants. These experiences, though, were crazy. Red and Vern. And then, speaking of chefs, I don't even know if I, did I tell you this, Nadav? Because when we did Tom Talks with Jose Andres, he hit me up.
Oh, he's did like, he do a private meal for you?
He's like, when you're coming to DC, like, I'd love to feed you and your crew. And I was like, what? And I realized I had two in one day, and then we were out of DC. You know, it was the end of the week, and
yeah.
I was like, fuck. Because if it would have been like we were talking about, if you have a one show night, you can be like,
oh, fuck.
And it's a Sunday, so my first show is at 5.
Why are you doing that?
Because on a Sunday, a lot of times your first show you go on sale with is 8 because you're thinking you're just doing one.
Yeah.
It sells out and they go, if you want to add, you got to add early. You can't add late on a Sunday. You know?
I can, but I do all my shows at 7.
Yeah, but on a Sunday, you're probably more likely to do, like, people are less likely to go out to like a 10 on a Sunday. You know? I don't know. So they added early. And anyway, I was like, well, the only thing I can do is have lunch. And we went to Haleo.
You went to lunch with this guy?
No. He set me, he's in Ukraine feeding people with World Central Kitchen. So yeah, that's who Jose Andres is. But like,
Jesus,
He set me up at Haleo, and holy shit, they designed a fucking menu for us.
For real?
Oh my God. It's all Spanish cuisine. It's J-A-L-E-O. It was fucking unbelievable. Unbelievable, man. So goddamn good.
We had this woman come to our show in, I forget where the fuck we were, in Savannah, or Charleston, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Charleston, I think. Her name's Mary Brent.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a meal, and she specializes, I'm going to fuck this up. She specializes in open flame cooking. She is a chef consultant for TV shows where they cook outside. Like where, like, if they have a show where they're like Man versus Wild or whatever, she is the chef consultant that comes in on that show and maybe kind of helps them figure out, this is how you cook a turtle or whatever, you know? Uh-huh. And so I'm sure if she's listening to this, she's rolling over it going like, that's not what I do. You don't listen.
This sounds like Bert describing a situation.
Chef Mary Brent, what's her name?
Mary Brent. Isn't that from the...
Mary Brent Galeen. She's an expedition chef. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. She's an expedition chef. So it's totally different. But this is her, like, she flies in helicopters.
Yeah.
And goes out in the fucking jungle and cooks for crews and stuff. So she did an open flame meal for us and just cooked everything open flame outside our bus, like on a fucking big grill, and just fucking... It was... I got so sick between shows. I ate so much fucking food.
And this always happens when you get access to...
Something like, I ate so fast.
Bro, you know, I try not to even eat before shows.
I'm never going to eat again.
And I fucking never drink. You know, I do every show sober.
Yeah.
We show up at Haleo, and they are just bringing out, I mean, plate after plate. It's like we did the sushi thing, but it's full Spanish tapas. And I was like, and then they're like, this wine pairs well with this. And this, and I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do two shows? I had to start just going like, I'll have a sip of the wine. I can't drink the full glass.
Yeah.
I'd be fucking hammered and full and shit myself on stage. It was such an amazing experience though, man.
I can't drink before a show. I mean, I'm doing it right now, but like I have a show in Pensacola tonight, but like, I can't go on stage drunk.
No,
I fuck it up. Like, I can have drinks this afternoon when I fly.
Yeah.
I got to take a nap when I get there, get up, have coffee, one show tonight so I can get through one show. And after watching Earthquake special, I'm super excited to do stand up.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It's inspiring.
Special? Yeah. And so I
can't. That's the best thing, by the way, is people seeing, when you do stand up, seeing great stand up is actually the biggest thrill. It makes you go like, I want to do stand up. I want to write something again. I want to get up there and like, cause you get excited by watching the great stuff.
And the great ones are like Jenna Jameson, when she was doing porn,
uh-huh.
She was so good.
Yeah.
Like there was something different that she did. Like the way she had sex, it was like she meant it.
It's like she loved having sex.
Yeah. You know, she can't walk.
What?
Yeah. Jenna Jameson got some like kind of crazy disease and she can't walk right now. I've been following her on Instagram. By the way, she looks better than when she was in porns these days. Like these days, she looks great. Jenna can't lose. Can't
is that
lose.
Her?
Jenna can't lose.
Is that her?
Yeah, that's her. Jenna can't lose.
She can't walk?
Yeah, she got some weird. Go to that picture of her with the hospital bracelet on, and then click it, and then read the thing.
Thank you for your well wishes. I'll be out of here as soon as I get back. Love you. What's the next one to the right? Set. Go to sweat. No. Yeah. Do that. I thought
old school Jenna.
Oh, okay. Fuck, man.
She looks, by the way, she looks fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
She does look fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
She looks great. But she's been going through some health. I've been following her. I follow a lot of my favorite porn stars. She's going through some health battles.
Who are a lot of your favorite porn stars?
I follow all of my favorite
porn
stars.
That's a nice photo there.
There you go. She posted one of Nadav.
How about right above that? Yeah.
Feeling grateful. Is she Jewish?
Looks like it.
She's sexy. What's up? I guess maybe she beat it. I don't know, because these pictures don't look like.
Who's this? Her guy now?
Yeah.
Who's he? Let's see.
I don't know. They moved to Hawaii, and
what's his handle there? What's it? Or don't have to say it, but just click it.
What's that? Holy fuck! What happened? Who is this? Oh, that's him.
Okay. Oh. And then does he have a bunch of pictures with her?
I think they have a kid.
Oh, really? Oh, some real Jay stuff there for you, Nadav.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, he's got a, I thought that was a snake around his hand.
Well, a lot of them have it.
Yeah, they live in Hawaii now, but she went through some really bad medical stuff. And she couldn't use her legs. Her legs weren't working. That's fucking terrifying.
That's sad, yeah.
Yeah, that's really fucking scary.
All right. We should wrap up, man.
Okay, let's wrap up. Let's look at our list and see if there's any subjects we didn't touch on, because we'll never talk about these.
Okay.
You never told me about touring with the Buffalo Bills.
The tour of the Bills facility?
Yeah.
Was so fucking awesome. This really? Is my favorite thing to do on the road now.
It's been, I did it for the Packers and I did it for the Bucks.
I love it, dude. I fucking love it.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. They upgraded like their indoor practice facility and the clubhouse part of it. And they gave us like this amazing tour, locker room, weight room. I mean, it's like all bad, like what you want to see. Like this is a pro fucking locker room and weight room. Nicest staff, like let us run around, throw on the field. They gave us a bunch of like official sweat. It was fun, man. It was really fun.
That's great.
And they have a top notch facility. It was really cool to see. That's I love it. I loved it.
Awesome.
I got to
butt fucking in the tub.
Oh, so Mike Cronin and Sean Nix, who were out on tour with me.
I heard they butt fucked in the tub.
Well, they started going like, "We're gonna do this series." And I was like, "What is it?" And they go, "It's called butt fucking a bathtub." And I go, "What is it?" And they're like, "It's that. Like we're gonna fuck in like different rooms." And I'm like, "Okay." And then they were like complaining. They go, "You got us, you know, like when people are not grateful, you got us hotel room without a bathtub." And I'm like, "Sorry." And they go, "So now we can't butt fuck in a bathtub, so we're gonna fuck in a shower." So then they did like they filmed themselves fucking around, like playing with each other's dicks.
I saw that. Yeah.
In the shower. And they said they're just going to start like fucking around in different like environments, you know?
I'm here for that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'll support it. You guys put it on a Patreon.
Yeah.
I had a meeting with UTA. We were talking about doing stuff for Patreon. And I was like, I already do so much stuff. I feel like I don't know if I have time to do more stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of cool. Like, I just signed up for Patreon. I, like, got the app and got my thing. Mm-hmm. I started going through like the Cumtown Boys and Tim Dillon.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of cool stuff on there. And so I was like, I don't mind the extra content. I assume consume a lot of content. And I was like, but I don't know if I have time. I have time to create another project to put on.
Oh, my God.
What you call it? And then I was like, and then I said, I wouldn't mind doing tasteful nudes on OnlyFans and just have, like, send them to someone to kind of clean them up and Photoshop them a little bit. But it's my body, but it's been worked over a little bit.
Worked over?
Yeah. And I said, and they were like, "That's a brilliant idea." And I went, and Leanne's like, we got off the phone. Leanne's like, "Did your team just greenlight you doing nudes on OnlyFans?" I was like, yeah.
Dude, if you started putting out like real XXX content. Like
this is the first one I want to put out. Okay?
You jacking off?
I would
sign up for your OnlyFans immediately.
Right? I mean, how much money do you think I can make on OnlyFans if I put tasteful fucking nudes? Tasteful, like really art, like get a fucking photographer and put out fucking tasteful fucking nudes.
I don't know.
What do you think? Okay, this is the first one I want. This is what I'd like to open with. Let me see if I can find it. God damn it, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
I can barely see anything these days.
You could really make some money, Bert.
I think I could.
I think you could too. Is this going to be something that I regret seeing?
No.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the first one. Yeah. Here, Nadav, can you see this? So, like, But I'd clean that up even more, like make me a little skinnier, airbrush me so that I'm look tanner.
So would you have someone do it professionally?
I'd take it to like the people that do the cover of GQ.
Yeah.
And then go, hey, do that to me. But
yeah.
And then also take care of my cock. Like make sure my cock looks nice.
Yeah. You don't want it to look too.
I don't want it to look like that one's too big.
Yeah. Too
that
silly.
That was really like penis pumped it up. And
yeah.
Maybe I'll just penis pump it.
Yeah.
I still have that penis pump. And just do like
just a good fluffing.
How often do you think I'd like Nadav? You'd want to subscribe to this channel. How often would you want to see a nude? Like once a week?
I think once a week is a good pace.
Once a week, OnlyFans, and it's like, and they're nudes that tell a story.
Yeah.
So if I arced it, and I was like, so like hypothetically saying like the first nude we get, I'm covering my eyes, right? Uh-huh. And you're like, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then the next nude, I'm peeking around a corner.
Yeah.
And so that they build throughout
but
the
year. But you got to jack off eventually.
I have one with my dick in my hand.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone want to see at least one, you know, full release.
Okay, how about this? You hear me, you see me, but you don't see my face.
Oh, nice.
So it's just down here.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm the
yeah.
machine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the machine.
Oh.
When I was 22, I got involved with the mommy. Here's what happened.
Yeah. Do you know how many women just came listening to this show right now?
Do you think, what percentage of women that are fans of mine would want to see me naked?
Most.
You do this to me all the time. You're Tom Cruising me. You're making me, I believe you. Like with the fucking leather pants, someone hit me up and I'm like, hey man, do not wear leather pants on your special.
What?
I was like, why? And they're like, Tom's fucking with you.
No, I'm not.
You should not wear leather pants on your special.
I'm not fucking with you.
Did you see Kevin Hart's Gucci pants?
No.
They're fucking badass.
Get those.
Gucci.
Okay, pull up Kevin Hart's Gucci pants.
Kevin Hart, Earthquake, and Dave Chappelle took a picture. It was on Kevin Hart's Instagram.
Go to his Instagram.
And he has these Gucci pants on. They're so fucking cool. Do you think? Scroll. You'll see there they are. Yeah. There they are. Look at these Gucci pants.
Oh, you can definitely rock those.
Dave Chappelle's an interesting fashion icon. Like he has such a different fashion sense, you know? Like he doesn't seem like a guy who would be fashionable, but he is.
Who's
you
that?
Know what I mean? Chappelle.
Oh, yeah.
Like he is fashionable. Like he's into certain things. But he doesn't seem like a
You fucking commented, hey, Segura, we need Gucci pants stat.
I did. I forgot I did that. Fuck, did anyone? Shit. I did write that, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need some Gucci pants.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch Earthquake Special again on the plane today.
I feel like watching it, yeah.
Last one, Josh Potter.
Yeah.
I toured with Josh Potter.
Yeah.
A fucking blast. We went and played disc golf.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't think I'm going to play. And I said, why? And he said, because I'm blind. It's really hard to play these types of games for me because I can't see where I'm going. And I went, oh, we'll just tell you where to go. And it was fucking hilarious. Every tee shot, he's like, where should I throw? We're like, just throw it as hard as you can. It'll be fine. And he ended up beating my cousin Andrew.
He did?
He beat my cousin Andrew, who can totally see. He can totally see. Josh would be at the thing going, I can't see the pin. And we're like, just over by my voice, Josh. And he'd be like, uh-huh. And then we got fucked up on the flight home. I mean, fucked up, beyond fucked up on that flight home.
So we had, you and I had dinner and then we were talking about it and you go, he kept saying, this is very different than how Tom tours. And so I called him and I go, how'd you, he goes, oh yeah, I had a great time with Bert. It was awesome. We had so much fun. And I go, how different was it than how, when you tour with me? And he goes, well, I sleep a lot more with you.
Like, I was like,
and then he goes, and then, you know, a bus or a flight with you. He's like, it's like being in a nice hotel. And I go, and he goes, with Bert, it's kind of like a barn.
We had him. We took a private home in the middle of the night. 'Cause I had to be home for something. So, and we got a fucking steal on it. cross country. We had to make a stop, but we got a deal on it. So I was like, fuck yeah, it makes sense. I flew everyone home.
Yeah.
We got so fucked up on that flight that John Manns, my cameraman, he said he doesn't remember getting off the plane. He just remembers that next Monday. Like, he doesn't remember any of the thing. He had said the funniest thing one time. We were all in the bus one night, and we're talking about getting someone pregnant. Has anyone ever gotten anyone pregnant? And I was like, well, I thought I did in college, but she wasn't pregnant. And then we were like, oh yeah, that was a close call. And John goes, I had a close call once. And we're like, yeah. We're like, what happened? He's like, luckily she took care of it. We're like, that's not a close call.
Yeah.
Call it an abortion.
Yeah.
Luckily she took care of it.
Yeah.
You missed it. Oh, fuck.
All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching.
We love you guys.
Love you.
With all our heart. Look at these fucking arms. God damn it. I look proportionally. I look like a fucking savage. If Stylebender just saw me, he'd be like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. He would be scared right now.
Like, this is a lot of man.
Dude,
like Brock Lesnar.
That's what I was thinking, too.
All right, great episode, man.
All right, great episode. Get those pants, buddy.
Yep.
All right.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.